Welcome, welcome to our first Monday after the July 4th holiday. We're live in the studio, and we're taking a look on this day, namely July the 6th in the year of our Lord 2015, taking a look at readings for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And my, oh my, is Amos ever appropriate for this day? Why? In light of the Supreme Court ruling authorizing the abomination of gay marriage, we really need to read Amos fairly carefully. Why? Because the Lord is sending Amos to the people of Israel to bring judgment upon them because they are no longer following the Lord. I'm Tom Baker, and we're going to take a look at Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. Amos says, now remember, he was not a prophet originally. He was actually an agricultural man, and he was called to go to a different area to do his prophesying. And so he was sent to the, well, place where Jeroboam was king of Israel, and he had a priest named Amaziah, and that's going to become very important. He begins by saying, "This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand." Now, this is very interesting because God appears to have appeared to Amos, not in the flesh, but as an individual. This ought not be surprising to us because it happened to Abraham. Remember, he had three individuals. One was Jesus, and two of them were angels. Well, in this particular case, God is starting off with showing him a plumb line. Plumb line, what's that? Well, that was a builder's tool, and we still have them today, used to determine a straight vertical line. Now, in the comparison that God is doing here, he is using a plumb line to check out the walls of Israel. Are they straight still? I remember when we built something, we want to make sure the wall was proper vertically. That means from the floor to the ceiling. And so you put a string with a little ball on the end of it on the ceiling and let it hang. And gravity makes it straight. And then you make sure your wall is properly situated. Well, what's happening is God uses this plumb line and he asks Amos, "What do you see?" And Amos said, "A plumb line." The Lord said, "Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." What's he talking about here? Why would he want to destroy the worship areas? Well, you have to understand what was happening here. These high places were worship sites scattered throughout the northern kingdom, and the sanctuaries of Israel were likely references to Bethel and Dan. You see, these were not okayed by God himself. In fact, idolatry was worshipped there. Through Moses, the Lord had warned the people about the consequences of illicit worship. That's found, by the way, in Leviticus chapter 26. So, what is happening is the prophecy is revealing that this breakaway dynasty of the northern kingdom would be fulfilled by invading enemies. And by the way, the son of Jeroboam II, his name was Zechariah, was assassinated, and that's when this was fulfilled. This was not the Babylonians coming down to destroy the southern tribes, but the northern tribes. of Assyria. This is what was being destroyed. Why? Because they had fallen away from the Lord. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to go into much greater detail about how Christians can speak to those who are, shall we say, supporting gay marriage. There are certain things we can say, particularly in light of what they say. And so, what we're going to be doing on Wednesday is we're going to be talking to peripheral Christians. Peripheral Christians, what does that mean? Well, that is the Christian who could be an et cetera Christian. What do you mean by an et cetera Christian? Well, ETC. They attend church, but they only do it on ETC. Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Therefore, because of their lack of study and their lack of worship in the Word of God, it's quite easy for the devil to get them thinking wrongly. I'm not really that concerned about Christians who attend church on a regular basis. They know the commandments. They know things are wrong. But this will be even helpful to you who might be doing that in order to give you the kind of words, the kind of ammunition to be used in conversations with those who support gay marriage. Now, is God going to do to the United States what he did to both Judah and Israel? Well, the northern kingdoms, the southern kingdoms, the Assyrians put to place the one, the Babylonians took into exile the other. No pastor can say that. And I'll tell you why not. Is at this point, at any rate, the majority of Christians in the entire world belong to denominations that oppose gay marriage. I mean, the Roman Catholics have 1 billion by themselves. Lutheranism is the largest Protestant denomination, although, unfortunately, there are those Lutherans who have left the Word of God. We in the Missouri Synod don't even consider them Lutheran anymore, supporting abortion, gay marriage, and this sort of thing. But at any rate, there is the majority of Christians belonging to such denominations. Now, you're going to say, well, not everybody agrees with what their own church teaches. That may be true. But we're going to show why this was probably a good thing that happened for the church. What? Yes, the Supreme Court ruling. And we'll explain that on Wednesday. But what we want to do is take a look here in greater detail at Amos. God isn't fooling around. And of course, what happens in this passage is what's happening in our day. Pastors who are standing up for the Word of God are being attacked by those who say, well, you don't really love people. You don't tolerate other people. And sure enough, the priest of Bethel, and of course, he was with Jeroboam, king of Israel, an evil king. His name was Amaziah. He goes to the king and he says, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Now that's kind of interesting, because this is exactly what's happening in this country. People who follow the Word of God are standing up and they're being attacked, and people are saying, we can't tolerate their words. They're bigots, or they are homophobias. You know, well, what's homophobia? Homophobia is the fear of something with no rational reason. Now, I do agree that racism can be a phobia. In other words, just because you see a black person doesn't mean that you need to be afraid of that black person. No, that's a phobia. Now, if any person is carrying a gun in the streets and shooting at people, of course you'd be afraid of them. But by itself, that's nothing to fear. But homosexuality, we don't have a phobia over it. we have a rational reason why we are opposed to that kind of behavior. Because of a number of reasons, and we'll explain them on Wednesday, but I'll just give you one. They are telling our children that their lifestyle is an appropriate lifestyle. That's abuse of a child, to say something like that, when God's word is so clear against that behavior. But what is Amos saying that I can't say? He's saying, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And that's, of course, what happened. With the one kingdom, the Assyrians took them into oblivion. We don't even know. We talk about the 10 tribes that are lost. And not many years later, guess what? The southern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, later on, under Cyrus, they allowed some to return. And, of course, they tried to rebuild the temple, but it was nothing like Solomon's original temple. And then, of course, we get to the time when Jesus shows up. But getting back to Amaziah, this is very interesting, verse 12. This is the high priest of Jeroboam speaking to Amos. O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Now, what I find interesting here, Amaziah appears to acknowledge that Amos indeed is a prophet, a seer. But he's telling him that you can prophesy, but go to your own land. And therefore, no longer prophesy here in Israel. Never again prophesy at Bethel. It's the king's sanctuary. It is a temple of the kingdom. Now, how is this happening in the United States of America? I keep hearing from listeners who say that if they come out for gay marriage, or against it, I'm sorry, against what the Supreme Court, they could be fired. I haven't found one time that that has occurred. And I would love to see, there are at times tolerance ideas. Like, for example, should Christians oppose, let's say you work in a grocery store at a cash register, and they hire somebody who's in a gay marriage. Should you quit? No. They have the right to be at a cash register. But you have also the right, if they ever ask you, well, what do you think about my gay marriage? And you say, well, I think it's an abomination before Almighty God. And you shouldn't be fired for that if you're asked a question. I'll tell you what I would like to do. In those areas or those businesses that say they will fire people who are against gay marriage, I would find a Muslim, because Muslims, by and large, are against gay marriage, and have them speak that in the business. And let's see if they fire a Muslim. There's no way this is going to happen. And we'll have to go through a lot of court things, because we have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech. Now, you know that individuals have phoned me on the air here and calling me Satan. Why? Well, maybe because I believe in infant baptism. Does that bother me? No. I'm glad that we live in a country where somebody can call me Satan because they disagree with me. Now, if they go burn down my house or something, that's a criminal act. But they have the freedom of speech to say whatever they want about Lutheran teaching. Just as we have plenty of books like How to Respond to Mormons, How to Respond to Jehovah's Witnesses. And within those books, we make it very clear that we do not agree with the theology of these people. It's contrary to the Bible. We have the right to do that. Freedom of speech is a huge thing, because there are countries, when you speak wrongly, they consider it hate speech, and you can be imprisoned, fined, or put to death. Now, that's wrong. I don't mind. I can't tell you how many people had terrible speech against Lutheranism, say before they came to our adult instruction class. And then they did so, and the Lord converted them. Nobody is unconvertible. I don't even know if that's a word. But there's nobody who the Lord cannot convert. And we need to understand that. We just start off with the premise that everybody can come to a knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Amos is called by God just like faithful pastors are. But there are a lot of unfaithful pastors in this country. Unfaithful pastors who are in support of homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion, etc. They are the Amaziahs of our day. And they will tell us to keep quiet. They will call us unloving. They will call us intolerant. And we'll get more into that on Wednesday to give you the kinds of ammunition and words so that you can have a conversation with these individuals. Amos says to Amaziah, he says, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, a dresser of sycamore figs. So he took care of those plants. But the Lord, and here he uses the name of God, took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Even though he was in the other tribes, God asked him to go to Israel. Now, this happens all the time in our own church where we send missionaries. I'm part of Concordia Mission Society. Part of the thing we do is help put out the Good News magazine by Wallace Schultz. But the other thing that we do is that we send missionaries to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. These are Muslim areas. And at times it's dangerous. Especially when you're speaking about against the Muslim faith and in support of Christianity. At this point, none of our missionaries have been put to death, but there have been some incidents, and so they need to be careful. This is just what we expect. I believe that in the United States of America, we've had it too easy for way too long. As I've said, and I'm still looking for somebody to show me I am wrong on this, I don't know of any Lutheran pastor that was put to death in the United States of America because of his confessional beliefs. I know during the racism of years ago, there were problems. I talked to a pastor who was holding a vacation Bible school, and he had both whites and blacks in it, and the people were not happy about that. Some of them, the Ku Klux Klan. So it was dangerous. But I still don't know of anybody who died because they took a stance on confessional Lutheran theology. We need to understand that the church really grows with persecution. What? Well, I'll tell you why. What the devil would want is for you to have a perfect life. Nothing ever going wrong. Your children are obedient. You've got a good job. You're bringing in lots of money. You have a nice car. You have a nice home. Wonderful family. Where is there a need for God? So a lot of times God sends suffering. And he does that to bring us closer to him. I kind of liken it to a child. During the July 4th celebrations, we have a cat, Mitzi. And as soon as the fireworks started going off, under the bed she went. And she stayed there the whole time until it was quiet. And in our area, it didn't get quiet until after 11 o'clock. But you know how many times you have a child, and they're in their bedroom, and there's thundering and lightning, and they call to you, Mommy, Daddy. They may not have needed you during the whole day. They wanted to be independent, but now they're calling. Why? Because two reasons. They want to be comforted. And number two, they know you're going to come. There's a promise. That's why in the day of trouble, we call upon the Lord and he will come to us. We have plenty of promises. And they're in place. Why? For a very simple reason. that God permits suffering to come even to Christians and the church in order that we might turn to him. Terrible thing with the killing of those people in a Bible study, but look at the wonderful example they gave us of forgiveness. And it was very interesting listening to talk show people on radio and television. They couldn't understand this. How can they forgive this horrible person who killed members of their Bible class? Well, they don't understand what forgiveness is. They have no understanding of the church. They have no understanding that the same person who offers forgiveness could also turn on the switch for the electric chair. That to them is a contradiction. To them, they think forgiveness is that you don't have to endure the temporal consequences here on earth. Well, that's not true. There is no forgiveness in the temporal world. You go over the speed limit, you're going to get a ticket. The forgiveness is for the spiritual realm, for eternal damnation. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says your faith has saved you. Saved you not from the terrible sufferings and temptations and the horrors of this world. Many Christians overseas are losing their life because they refuse to deny Christ when ISIS comes to their door. This never happens in the United States that I'm aware of. Certainly not happening today. So the Supreme Court ruling, like the one on abortion, has woken Christians up to the kind of world that we are in. And so therefore, we need to help you to know what to say, to reach out to those who have had an abortion and now, even years later, feel very guilty and feel no comfort. Well, the message of Christ is comfort to them. To those who are involved in gay marriage, we have a message so that they might repent of what they are doing. Because marriage is pretty clearly defined in the scripture. And it certainly isn't between people of the same gender. The church will never recognize these people as being married. Oh, legally, the government can do whatever they want. Nazis loved to put Jews to death. And nobody said, hey, that love, who are you to judge them? No, we did judge them. Because just because they say they love to do it, didn't make it right. So also, I can't think of the last time I ever did a sin that I didn't love doing it. And we're going to be talking about that again on Wednesday. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be taking a look at Jesus' priceless treasure. It's the hymn assigned for the hymn of the day coming up for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, which is this coming Sunday. We're going to say some things about that. And it's going to be helpful to you. There are particular words found in this hymn that you need to explain to your children. In case the church you're going to does use the hymn of the day, then they'll be able to understand that hymn better if they hear it from you and have it explained. By the way, the Amos thing about suffering on the part of Christians comes really true when you look at the reading for the gospel from Mark chapter 6. Guess what? It's the death of John the Baptizer because of Herod allowing his wife's daughter to come in, and she pleased Herod and his guests. And she says, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it to you, even up to half of my kingdom. And then she asked for, of course, the head of John the Baptist. Now, the king was sorry, but because of his oaths, he didn't want to break his word to her. See, this is love of your station. He so loved his position that he didn't want to lose it. So are we to judge him? And of course, After John was killed, the disciples heard of it. They came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is what we're dealing with today. Individuals that hate what the Christian church has to say. And we as pastors and KFUO and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we're here to equip you with words and reasonings and argumentation on the basis of Scripture to show you that what is being said is contrary to the Word of God. I'm Tom Baker. Look forward to talking to you with you tomorrow with Mark Smith. God bless.
Each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.